I have to go to the book of Romans. We'll go to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We appreciate you being here. I hope your interest is the Word of God. And there's not many other reasons really to come to church unless you're just looking for a husband or a wife or a social club. That's why most folks go to church. But I have an interest in the Word of God. Thank God for His precious Word. Now, the blessing is I did meet my wife in church. Thank God for that. Yeah. One of the fringe benefits of going to church. It's a good place to find a wife. There's nothing wrong with that. But I certainly wouldn't go to church just to find a wife. Amen?
Right.
And I certainly wouldn't find a... You young ladies, you're not supposed to find a husband anyway. He's supposed to find you. But that's a whole other message. That'll be Thursday night about 8 o'clock. Okay. But that's what a lot of folks today do it. Boy, they just love the social events of church. You know, boy, I mean, just the happy-go-lucky friendship. And I go by places today, and it says, worship 9:30, coffee's at 9. And listen, there's nothing wrong with having coffee at church. That doesn't bother me one bit, but I've never went to church for a cup of coffee in my life. Amen. That doesn't bother me. But at the same time, listen, I've never worried about it. If you're going to drink something, drink it on the way to church. Amen. Just a matter, folks like the social aspect of religion. And as a lot of folks love that, when you start preaching the Word of God, you find out that's all they want is the social aspect of religion. And so we preach the Word of God because we love the Word of God. We thank the Lord for this blessed book. Thank the Lord for the Word of truth. And I want to look at tonight in Romans chapter 8. It's just something that's been on my heart. The book of Romans has been on my heart pretty heavy lately. And so I've been dealing with some things out of the book of Romans. And I guess I'll start down at about, well, you know what? We may as well go through this first little bit here, the kind of feel-good stuff. So let's start in verse 5. That's kind of a warm, positive, upbeat. Everybody's depressed. This will help you. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so if you're after spiritual things, you'll mind the things of the Spirit. But if you're after the flesh, you'll mind the things of the flesh. How do you know how fleshly you are? Well, spiritual things are by faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Natural things are for the flesh. Your comforts, your desires, your wants, your lusts. Those are fleshly things. There's a time that we all need to eat. It's just part of life. It's a time we all need to drink water. It's part of life. It's a time we all need to sleep. But when you pursue your fleshly wants, your fleshly desires, you're in the flesh. You're living after the flesh. And he goes on in verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A lot of folks living after their carnal mind. That's your fleshly thinking. What can I get out of this? What profit is there in this? Now listen, I wouldn't toot anybody's horn because I don't like my own horn tooted unless I'm tooting myself. And that's a little humor for those of you so upbeat and stuffy you can't even smile in church. A lot of folks like that too. So spiritual, I don't know how to smile anymore. Amen. God's people are joyful people. Just want to throw that out there. I know people never smile in church one time in their life. Amen. They're just emotionless blobs sitting on a pew. You ought to just smile about something. You ought to get mad about something once in a while. You ought to smile about something once in a while. Amen. But we have folks who have driven a long way to be here tonight. I hope their desire was for the Word of God. And there's a lot of folks will drive a long way for a lot of things. They'll go up to State College for the game. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll be over in Philly walking the streets trying to get a ticket for the big game tonight. And all those fleshly desires. But then you invite folks to come to services where the Word of God's being preached. And without fail, about 85% of them, they got something else they got to do that's important. You know, trim their nails, clip their nose hairs, you know, do whatever the case is. And everything's more important than the Word of God because they live after the flesh. They're carnally minded. It's always about them. It's always about what makes them happy. It wouldn't want to interrupt their life. Wouldn't want to miss their favorite TV show. Wouldn't want to miss the big game. There's a lot of folks that just live that way. A lot of folks in church live that way. What's going to interrupt my life? What is going to interfere with what I want? They live their life that way. That's carnally minded. It's death. It reaps nothing but death. But to be spiritually minded, what is spiritually minded? Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what do you want from me? Lord, what do you need from me? It's life and peace. I'll give you an example. An unforeseen event, $5,000 comes in the mail. What does the carnal mind do? Spends it immediately. Why? It's $5,000. What do you spend it on? Whatever your carnal mind wants. I myself, of course, would spend on my wife, being the husband that I am. Immediately, some of you still aren't going to smile. I know if it came to mail, my wife would spend it on me, because that's the kind of person she is. Amen, Sister Rebecca, amen. But what does the spiritual mind want? What does God require? What does God need? And by the way, I'm not talking about an easy life. I'm not talking about an easy thing to accomplish. I'm talking about something you have to be diligent to seek. It's in every area of your life. What does God want? You're looking for a wife? Listen, no guy wants an ugly girl. It's just reality. And girls, if you are ugly, you just do something. Help yourself. Look in the mirror. You know, punch this side, straighten the face out, whatever it is. And the girl, listen, no girl wants an ugly guy. And that's all that's out there. There's nothing else. So you're kind of stuck. It just is what it is. Never seen a good-looking man to this day. And so what you're dealing with is you're dealing with carnal things. You know, it's not a matter of spiritually minded. It's what I'm looking at, what I'm desiring, what I want, not what God wants. But what does God want? In that pursuit, specifically, there's a lot of young people here, so we'll talk about that just for next hour or so. What does God want in a marriage? What does God want for you in a marriage? Well, I know one thing for sure. God wants you to be pure at the marriage altar. I know that for sure. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Whoremongers, adulterers, God will judge. God wants that from you at the marriage altar. We know that for sure. But can I say more than that? God wants you to be spiritually minded if you do get married. Not marry according to the lust of the flesh, but marry according to God's will. And it's hard to find God's will because of your flesh. You say, well, how could this be God's will? I don't even like this guy. How can this be God's will? Well, no guy's likable, okay? It just is what, and if a guy is likable, he's probably a big fake. You'll find out too late that he's not likable. He just pretended to be likable for the first couple of months, and now you really don't like him. But what you do is you do what the Word of God says. You're commanded to love him. You ladies aren't always lovable, and you know you're not. You may as well just run to the altar and pray and thank the Lord. But you're not always lovable. But you know what God commanded us men to do? Love you anyway. So what does a man have to do? He has to love his wife. And listen, I know people go, well, McVeigh's just preaching his problems. Yes, I am, but that's okay. Amen. You can get in on my problems and better yourself with my example, okay? But you're obligated to love your wife. Why? Because God tells you to love your wife and to give yourself. Oh, there's the trouble. Give yourself for her. Does that mean you give her everything she wants? No. But you give her you. Whatever she needs from you, you give her. And that's a pretty hard thing. That's a pretty hard pill for a lot of people to swallow because that doesn't fit in their carnal thinking. But that's God's way. And so a lot of our formulated thinkings are just carnal. They're not spiritual. But to find a spiritual mind is to find a mind that has life and peace. Then you raise children. Children, what are you commanded to do? Obey your parents. That's pretty simple. Now, you can find wiggle room in that, but not biblically. You can say, well, what about this? There's no what if you obey your parents. And he said this, by the way, in the Lord, for this is right. He said to honor your father and mother. Do you honor them? And really, that's pretty the basic relationship you have with your parents. There's not much outside of that. Honor them. Fathers, by the way, love your children, but don't provoke them. Don't provoke them to anger. Don't provoke them to wrath. You take those children, you nurture them, you raise them, you teach them, you instruct them. Children, you obey your parents. You honor your father and mother. You never curse them, never smite them. It's forbidden of God. But the carnal mind just plays tricks on us. The carnal mind tells us, well, you know, the other kids say that this, and the other kids say this, and boy, our friends at church even say this. And, you know, some of the most damnable doctrines you hear among young people come from their peers. They won't take it from the preacher, they won't take it from dad, but they'll take it from their buddies. And it's just carnal. The first person ever tells you, young people, your parents are wrong, look up here. They're out of hell. They're out of hell. And it'll probably be okay if you told them that. If somebody tells my child, your daddy's just wrong in this, goes and subverts me secretly, and my little boy looks at it and says, you're out of hell. He's not going to get a spanking. He's going to get a lollipop. There's a whole lot of that going on because of that carnal thinking. These ladies will take these young ladies and subvert their minds and turn them against their parents. There's men that'll take these young boys and they'll turn them against their parents, turn them against their families, even in church. One of the difficult things a pastor, a preacher, standing in the pulpit has to face is when people use the children to get to him. And they subvert those children, try to turn those children against their father. Any young person tells another young person, your parents are wrong in this, look up in here. They are wrong themselves and need to be told so. You say, well, what if my parents are wrong? Well, take that young person, go to your parents, say, hey, this person thinks you're wrong. Dad, they say you're wrong. Dad, you think you're right. I think you're wrong. Let's talk about this. But, you know, we're too cowardly to do that because we're not spiritual. There are a bunch of people just pretend to be religious and act like we love God, but we're not spiritual. We're just carnally minded. So do we do that? No. I've never had anybody do that ever. I've never seen anybody do that. Take their peer and go talk to their parents and say, hey, you know, this is what you're really saying. Dad, this young lady disagrees with you in this decision you made in my life. And I'm going to go, well, that's interesting because I'm pretty sure I paid the bills and put a roof over your head and put food on your table and clothes on your back. But if you want to follow them, just go right ahead. Nobody's smiling now, are they? Why? Because it hits home. Because it's happening everywhere. The devil's trying to destroy young people. There are folks in this church, their children are not in church tonight because people like that got into their children's minds, got into their children's thinking, corrupted them from the ground up, undermined everything mom and dad tried to do. As a parent, one of the hardest things you'll do today is try to keep your children in line according to the scriptures and combat people undermining them. Sunday school teachers, church workers. Well, your dad just, he shouldn't do that. But God forbid I go in their home and tell their children the same thing. God forbid. I'm just man enough to rule my home. And I'm not being ugly about that. I'm not being carnal about that. I'm just man enough to rule my home. And that doesn't mean I get an iron fist and go around banging on everything and sit in my chair and yell for food, although sometimes I like to do that for fun. What that means is I establish the rule in my home. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. Are there gray areas between that? No, there are not. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. I raise my children according to my rule. My wife lives in my home according to my rule. But look up here. I live in my home according to my rule. But I also answer to the greatest rule of all. Because this is the rule for my home. And God's established that in me. And therefore, if I'm going to be spiritually minded, there's that hard word again, to be spiritually minded, I have to know the mind of Christ. I have to know what the Word of God says. But to be carnally minded is just doing it on my own impulse. Just doing it on my own whims. What I think is best without any guidance from God. And by the way, there are people out there. Moral upbringing. Good, solid, foundational upbringings. Wisdom. They've raised their children without the Bible and they've done very well. Most young people that get into medical school, law school, things like that, they might have been absolutely morally corrupted, but they've had some kind of an upbringing to give them some type of discipline where they at least are studious and capable of studying those things and get their degrees and go on to school and do what they do. Yet without God. And then I see parents in the house of God that can't raise their children according to the same discipline that lost people do, let alone according to the scriptures. Because there's no rule. There's no mark. There's nothing they're striving for. And then God forbid they got a mama that undermines the dad. God forbid. I was raised in a home where my mom had to establish the rule. And that's a very difficult thing, especially if you got a teenage son. Especially a rebel like I was. My mother had to establish the rule. My dad never established a rule. That's a very difficult thing for her to do. And then some ladies have a husband and they don't let him establish the rule because they're rebels. And they go against the word of God because they're carnally minded as well. Never been spiritually minded. Undermine everything that's said, everything that's done. God forbid. And so now we have a generation raised in church. They're not in church. They've been raised in church. They go every which way and everything that comes along, everything new that comes along, every wind, they change, they flop around. Why? Because they've never seen the rule established, enforced, and they've never seen anybody support that rule. Everybody they know is against that rule. That's in church. I've seen Sunday school teachers undermine parents. Little things, you know, well, your daddy shouldn't say things like that. I know one thing for sure. I'll snatch my child out of a class about half a second. The teacher starts telling daddy shouldn't say things like that. That's my home and my children. You see, this is carnal thinking. This isn't spiritual thinking. This is carnal thinking, carnal reasoning. And nobody wants to say boo about it today. But part of the problem, I know young people who've been drastically influenced by people in sin position and turned against their parents. I know a young lady tonight that told her dad flat out about a year ago. I went such and such a place, such and such a here, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and they convinced me you were wrong. What did that young lady have an obligation to do? Obey her parents. Obey her parents. Some of you were there. I flushed some of that over in Blaine a couple years ago. I was at a porta potty. Heard one of them young people saying, well, hey, the parents aren't around. You don't have to do that. Listen, I didn't just call it out from the porta potty. I called it out from the pulpit. And I know who said it. A rebel said it. Someone's got rebellion in their heart. Someone is going to undermine the other children for their own carnal pleasure. You see, if you can get the other people, you get little goody-two-shoes to curse their parents and to mock their parents, you can justify your own being. That's why he said be carnally minded is death. You know why I rule my home? Because I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to be judged for how I rule my home. Amen. My wife is not. Amen. She's going to be judged for how she responded to my rule. My children are going to be judged how they responded to her rule and my rule. And I'm going to be judged for how I ruled my home. And I don't want to stand there one day and watch my children be cast into hell because society put pressure on me to not be a man. Because my wife put pressure on me to not be a man. Because my children put pressure on me to not be a man. But Daddy, everybody else is doing it. Well, everybody else is smoking crack too. I mean, let's not smoke crack. But Dad, all the other children are involved in it. Now listen, I played Little League ball. You go ahead and say what you want about it. I played Little League ball back when it was still actually popular to play baseball before they all started playing soccer. We played baseball. You know why? Because you could throw balls at people and get in bat fights. Hey, I mean, you can't do that in soccer. All you do is run around and kick a ball. But I played baseball back in the 1980s. That's a long time ago for some of you. And I learned how to cuss. I learned how to chew tobacco. I learned perverse things. That was all. I'm talking about the ages of 11 to 15 years old, all playing baseball. And I watch children throw fits because their parents say, you know what, we're not going to be able to play sports down there. And they throw a little fit about that. But all the other kids are doing it. Listen, I was 15 years old. I think most of our entire team chewed tobacco. You know why? Because one kid started chewing tobacco. And he said, here, try this. So we all chewed tobacco. If you had to throw up, you had to run behind the dugout and act like it was something else. Because you chew tobacco when you're 15 years old. You're going to swallow some. You swallow some. Guess what? You're going to puke. Thank God. That's God telling you. Get that nasty, filthy, wretched stuff out of your mouth. He's showing you. Why do you think you cough when you smoke a cigarette? God's trying to show you. Why do you get hangovers? God's trying to tell you. Everybody says, well, all the other kids are doing it. Everybody else is going. I don't want my children to turn out weird. I don't want my children to turn out strange. I don't want my children to turn out like weirdos. How weird do you want them to be? You'd rather have them blue hair and a bone in their nose working down at sheets selling booze?
Yeah.
You'd rather have the eyelids tattooed? Cursing God, hating God in their heart? Somebody needs to have rule over that home. But to be carnally minded, you can't rule your home. Ladies, to be carnally minded, you can't follow that rule. If you object to that rule, it's because of your carnal mind. Young people, don't pretend you're spiritual and you can't obey your parents. Those two don't go hand in hand. I watch you get up and sing with all piety, little halos floating above their heads. And in their heart, they hate their parents, they curse their parents, they mock their parents. Well, I mean, to say all that, I didn't even have that in my notes. That's odd. In verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Why? Because God didn't create you to please yourself. God created you to please Him. God didn't make you to live for yourself. He didn't send the Son to die that you might have your life. He sent the Son to die that He might have your life. More than anything in this world, He wants you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Hebrews 12, 1, 2, 3, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? God wants you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. That is your reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The carnal mind is not at all concerned about God's will. But the spiritual mind is. What does God want for me? You know what happens to carnal people in church? They get in a rut. They find a comfort zone where nothing's out of kilter. And they live in that same rut every day, every day, every day, every day. Nothing outside of that. This is what I do. Because they have everything figured out for themselves, but no clue what God has for them. And that's why that carnal mind's enmity with God. God cannot be pleased with your carnal thinking. God doesn't have you live your life for you. He has you live your life for Him. Folks get depressed. Depression's very real. I'm not naive to that. But you realize a lot of folks' depression is a pity party. People always say, well, it's physiological. You can't help it. I understand some of that. I do. I have no question about that. A lot of it is physiological. But you know what I find? Most people get depressed. They get down. They feel sorry for themselves. They feel like they've been thrown a bad lot in life. They feel low because, boy, I just can't. It seems like nothing works. Nothing's going for me. I don't even know why I exist. But they're not spiritual. No. You ever been depressed and been spiritual? No. I'm just ask a hypothetical question. You ever been depressed so low and you go, you know, but I know I'm spiritual today. Do you think there's a link? Suicide rates at an alarming high. There's not a family in here that probably hasn't been influenced one way or another by suicide. And I'm very sensitive about it. I want you to look up here. I'm very sensitive. My uncle blew half his face off. Gone to church with people, tried to kill themselves. I personally don't know, but I've heard of pastors that over the years, Bible-believing preachers that took their own life, got so despondent, so depressed. It's an awful thing. It's a terrible thing. And there's a lot of people get so low. You try to give them spiritual advice, they just shake their head. No, no, that's not it. That's not it. But that is it. It's the Word of God. That's what's going to make the difference. And I've dealt with enough people over the years, they're depressed, they feel sorry for themselves, the woe is me syndrome, and they don't do anything for anybody else, let alone for God. They just want to sit at home, feel sorry. Stare at the television. By the way, you stare at television all day, you will be depressed. Write it down. Chalk it up. It's an absolute guarantee. You want to suffer from depression, watch TV all day. If I watch TV, if I watch the news for half an hour, I'd probably be on the cliff thinking about it. It is depressing. You see, that carnal mind can only think of me, what I want. That's why it's an enmity with God. Never thinks about what God wants. It never concerns itself with the will of God. How do you prove what is that good and acceptable will of God? Well, the Word of God tells you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, Lord, send me. I told this story many times. I probably told it here, Brother Earl Hughes, many, many years ago. Said he woke up about 7 o'clock in the morning. Said, Lord, what'd you have me do today? He listened, didn't hear anything. Woke up second time about 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, Lord, he said, he's feeling pretty spiritual. He said, Lord, what would you have me do today? He didn't hear anything. Rolled back over, went back to sleep. He said, he woke up the third time, 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, Lord, what would you have me do today? And he said, distinctly, a voice from heaven said, Earl, get out of bed. Anyway, amen. Get out of bed, Earl. Face the day. Can't be spiritual sleeping in bed all day. Can't be spiritual laying around all day. You have to make an effort to seek God's face. You have to make a conscious effort to read the Word of God, to pray, to find out what God has for you that day. I woke up this morning, and much to my chagrin. We were low on caffeine. We've been on the road for 4 straight weeks. Haven't been home. It's on our second night at home last night. And I mean, I was just devastated. I said, there's no caffeine. What am I going to do? I'm not going to drink that black swill most of you drink either. I'm not touching that stuff. I thought about it. I thought, what, should I drink coffee? And I went, oh, no. No. That's for truck drivers and preachers' wives. Amen. That's what coffee's for. So I'm not drinking. I always tell folks I got saved out of a coffee lifestyle. They get offended by that, of course, you know, but I just don't like coffee. And I was struggling. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day. How can I make it without caffeine? How can I survive without caffeine? But you'd be amazed how many people, that is their mantra. How can I survive without something besides you? How can I survive without this whole day, without something outside of the Word of God? And they need something besides Him. And they'll go to great lengths to get that thing they need the most. But they won't go to great lengths to find Him. Carnally minded. Brother Billy Mitchell has been with the Lord, I guess, 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years now. I had the privilege to hold some Bible conferences years ago with Brother Billy Mitchell. He was a great help, a great influence upon me. Brother Billy Mitchell got T-boned by a dump truck back 15 years ago. He's all broken up in ICU for 2 months. And he made a great statement. I'm going to use it tonight. It stuck with me all these years. He said, I was laying in ICU, and he said, I was too sick to pray. This is what he said. He said, I'm glad when I could pray, I did pray. You ever been too sick to pray? I have been. I've been so sick I couldn't even keep my eyes open. I couldn't even think. I've had 2 inches of my life, I was in so much pain, I couldn't think of anything but pain. No matter how hard I tried, couldn't think of anything but pain. I'm glad I prayed when I could. I'm glad I knew God. I'm glad I had a hope. Carnally minded is death. Why, it's self-serving to no end. There's no end when you think for yourself and you think of your own flesh and you're constantly pampering you. There's no end to it. I was in one of those little foreign countries in Asia, I don't remember where exactly we were, and went to the mall, and they had men doing it. They said, you know, it's a free 3-minute massage. I sat down. I said, all right, 3 minutes. And he hurt me. I mean, he went deep. And he worked every muscle in one spot inside my right shoulder blade. All those muscles, the top, the bottom, under the shoulder blade. Felt like his finger was poking out the front. And he gets done. He said, would you like me to finish? I said, absolutely not. But I walked down to the, and all of a sudden this arm is loose. About 10 minutes later, it felt great. I mean, I felt like I could pitch a baseball. You know, I was like, man, this is wonderful. And the rest of my body is all tight and clenched up and, you know, and I realized he only hit one spot to make me realize how bad the rest of it was. Kind of like that carnal mind is never satisfied. You satisfy that one thing, you need something else. You satisfy that one little thing, you got to go find something else. It's never satisfied. Why? Your flesh is never satisfied. Yeah. Your desires are never satisfied. The old adage, I've used it 100 times, but I used it once. People say, well, if we just had more money, and I've said for years, if I had more money, I would just spend more money. That's the only reason you need more money. You know, if I just had a better car, you just drive faster, that's all. If we just had more of what? Food? I'm not trying to be mean, but myself included, that's probably the last thing a lot of us need, is more food. Why don't we concern ourselves with more of Him? Why don't we think, you know, I need more of the Lord in my life? Young people, you don't need different parents. You just need God. He'll make your parents tolerable. Oh, yes, he will. Husbands, you don't need a different wife. You just need God. He'll make your wife tolerable. I promise. Wives, you don't need a different husband. You just need God. He might help you put up with the one you got. Churches don't need a new pastor. It's amazing how intolerable people are of the preacher. You know, that's what they say. Well, we go over here, we really like the pastor. You know, I've never joined a church because I like the pastor. Never. I'm telling you the truth. I've been run out of two churches, and I never joined another church because I like the pastor. I just believe it's the will of God for me to go there. And I believe the doctrine was right, the word of God was right. So I went there. And I didn't go in there trying to take over the ministry. I said, what would you have me to do? Because of my personality and the way I am, they begged me to go into evangelism and be on the road. It's worked out well. I told Pastor Black recently, I said, brother, I said, I try to be a good church member. And he just kind of cut his eyes. And I know he's finding some sarcastic remark. And I said, but I figured I'd just stay here and be a trial to you anyway. Amen. He didn't respond. Maybe he took it that way. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your carnal mind can't be subject to the law of God. It will not submit to God. One of the things that I harp on, and I harp on a lot of things, I'm kind of angelic in that sense, I guess. But one of the things I harp on all the time in our home, with my wife and with my children, myself, that spirit of meekness. Why? You don't defend yourself. The carnal mind does that. The carnal mind, everybody's against you. The carnal mind, listen, if I'm carnal-minded preacher, boy, everybody just hates me and they're against me. I got to defend my ministry, defend everything I do, and defend everything I say because I'm just carnally minded. I mean, the carnal mind has no friends. But that spirit of meekness, by the way, that blessed fruit of the Spirit, part of that fruit of the Spirit, that meekness, you don't have to defend yourself. Even if you are right, you don't have to defend yourself. Why? Because meekness abounds. Because that spiritual mind bears meekness, but not the carnal mind. That's why it's enmity with God. I said for many years, it's amazing when people talk bad about me, it doesn't hurt my feelings unless it's true. And a lot of stuff they say about me is not true. It's water off the duck. But when it's true, oh boy, that hurts. Boy, I'm going to tell them. Boy, you wait till I get a hold of them. Tell them like it is. That's what the carnal mind does. You young people, again, I'm glad you're here. Thank God for that. Brings life to the church. It's all just us old people yesterday. I mean, I think I was the second youngest person here yesterday. I'm gouging Brother Matt and others with that. Amen. On purpose. Brother Terry back there, he's getting old. Amen. You young people, do you realize you need to have meekness with your parents? I didn't do it. Who cares? So that carnal mind does. Immediate knee-jerk reaction. Got to defend myself. Got to take all advantage to make myself look better in this light. And I'm not talking about 5 and 3-year-olds like I got, fighting back and forth, making accusation. I'm talking about teenagers. They ought to know better. It's amazing how smart dads and moms are. They know better. That's that iniquity in us is finding that little loophole. Dad didn't say that one word right, so iniquity is going to find that little loophole in what he said and then go, but I didn't do that. But you did. You just didn't do the way he said it. Because iniquity abounds. In the carnal mind, you're right. But in the spiritual mind, you're wrong because of how you treat your father and mother. Has there been a young person yelled at their parents who was ever right with God? Has there been a wife yelled at her husband ever been right with God? You ladies go ahead and say amen on that. It's all right. Ever been a man yelled at his wife? I've been right with God. Now listen, I have a tone. It's just below yelling. So that I can justify my being. She says, you're yelling. No, I'm not. That's my almost yelling voice. I know you all don't do that because you're perfect relationships and all, but every once my wife and I'll have a little argument. You know, it just happens once in a while. Carnal mind. God's not pleased with it. God can't use it. God can't work through it. Why? Because it's not subject to the law of God. It feeds its own self. It can't take the word of God and do anything with it because it doesn't understand the word of God. It's death. But to be spiritually minded, what is the spiritual mind? It loves the law of God. It's subject to the law of God. It obeys the law of God. I guess the question tonight is, which one are you? It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh, that's your carnal mind, cannot please God. How do you please God? Be spiritually minded. Not follow your own carnal thinking. Follow the ways of God, the law of God. And I know there's folks here, they'll say, well, you know, that McVeigh's just a tyrant. Yeah, go ask my children. I'm sure they feel tyrannical at times. They're so miserable. They sit in the pew and hang their heads and cry. That doesn't justify my being. But I've established a rule according to what I believe God's law says. And this is what we do, and this is what we don't do. And that's why God told us, when he tells that shepherd of the sheep, to not lord over the flock of God, but be what? Be an example to them. That's a living example, an example. You don't lord over the flock of God because each little home, pastor had homes to stand up. Each home has a rule. Each home has a way they live. Each one has a measuring device by how we live. And no man can lord over that. But God forbid somebody undermine that outside of the home or in the home. I tell people often, this is just the way we live. You may not like how my family lives. We eat different than most people. I eat different than most people. Very few people probably had salami with guacamole and hot pepper cheese and pork rinds for lunch today, but I had that for lunch today. Very few people eat that way. That's just how we live. I chose that meal. I kind of regret it because it actually didn't go together very good, but it's what I ate. Nobody lives like you live. Dads, nobody establishes a rule in your home but you. There are certain things that are not going to be in our home. I'm just being honest with you. We're not going to have liquor in our home. We're not going to have beer in our home. We're not going to have wine in our home. We're not going to have liver in our home, okay? There's four awful things. We're not going to have them. Amen. All the beef liver people went, oh, no, it's wonderful. I'm like, no, it's not. It's disgusting. They say, Brother McVeigh, will you all come over for lunch? Do you all eat liver? I'm like, no, but I eat the catfish that eat it. Amen. I went and bought livers about 10 times in my life, and there's always catfish livers. And I put them on a hook, and I threw them in the Potomac River. How's your home? How's your marriage? Is it carnal? Is it fleshly? Is it spiritual? Young people, how's that relationship with your parents? I want you to listen to me real good. I don't care if it's Tim McVeigh that does it. Somebody starts trying to undermine your parents, you go tell your parents. You go tell them. So that man said, you just go tell them exactly what that person said. I'm telling you now, you better do it.
That's right.
And parents, you don't react to that, not in front of your children. You take them out behind the building and react to it, but not in front of your children. You say, you're condoning violence? No, I didn't say what to do behind the building. You can just talk to them if you want to. I'm just telling them, take them behind the building. Your parents or your children can't see it. You young people, don't you let other young people undermine your parents. It's carnal. It doesn't please God. It'll be to your destruction. It could be in your own home. That one person in that home begins to undermine. Dad doesn't know what he's talking about. Mom's stupid. Why don't even listen to them? They don't deserve to be parents. And as that wicked woman says, oh, young ladies, your mother just, she goes too far. She doesn't listen. You don't have to be a fuddy-duddy when you dress. You know what you need to do? Say, Mom, that lady said that we're fuddy-duddy when we dress. And Mom, you know what you do? Hey, can I talk to you out here behind the building? And if she's smaller than you, just go out behind the building. If she's bigger than you, take a ball bat. Well, you just want your kids to go to hell. You want to let that person keep undermining your children. They turn against you, turn against the church, turn against the word of God. Devils have crept in our circles. Devils have crept into churches. Undermining. Always subverting the hearer. Taking what God says and twisting it in their mind and twisting it in their thinking. Making it carnal. When God wants it to be spiritual. Well, I didn't get too far. Pastor, I believe I said everything I need to say tonight. So it's been on my heart. I wouldn't stop there. Give the service to you, Pastor.
Our heads put a rock.